straight out of Vegas!
You know, it's amazing how the future always has a way of arriving ahead of schedule. We're 1 week away from Selection Sunday already. College basketball is raging. Conference tournaments are getting revved up. Bryce Harper is still a Philly. And, oh, yeah, Antonio Brown, he's now a Raider. And we've got more names in the news, like Kyler Murray and the gang who couldn't shoot straight, otherwise known as the Los Angeles Lakers. We got opinions. We got ideas to make you think. You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, quote, "Man's mind stretched to a new dimension never returns to its original state." That's our job, to make you think. And there's nothing better than the world of sports, and it's the greatest reality show ever created, and you can script everything except the final outcome. You've come to the right place. Don't go anywhere, or we'll find you. On that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Outta Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas. You know, Straight Outta Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Channel 83, from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this. As RJ Bell says every day, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth on Saturday night as well. This is Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. A lot to get to tonight. By the way, shout out to my daughter, Jamie Fratto, who's in town today from Houston. She's listening. Sleepy, you want to give Jamie a shout out?
Hey, shout out to Jamie. I did get some nice desserts from Bernie, though.
That's right. That's right, man. We come bearing gifts. And speaking of gifts, Antonio Brown got a gift, or maybe the Raiders got a gift. Sleepy, we can't poo-poo this before we dive into a heavy college basketball slate. Props to Arnie and Aaron and Steve DeSager for breaking the news at 9:32. Gosh darn it, I'd sent Ryan Bershinger a text at 9:31. I think you have my back on that. I should have said it in the text, but word this was coming down the pike. The question is, Sleepy, before we dive into the college basketball slate, we've got so much to get to. Can you really quantify a wide receiver and their ultimate effect on the win total and or odds in the upcoming football season when you consider the great contributions Antonio Brown gave the Steelers and they couldn't even get to the playoffs?
Good point. I don't think he moves the needle much for Oakland as far as the win total is concerned. I believe he's worth maybe a quarter of a point, maybe a half a point to the betting line. That's about it. But I think what he's going to do more for the Oakland Raiders is it's going to be a big impact when they finally get to Vegas.
Well, you brought up a good point off air that he will bring excitement when the Raiders land in Las Vegas here in the 2020 season. There's no question about that. I think he'll bring excitement around the team camp. He's a very hard worker. Mm-hmm. I'm still baffled by the fact that Pittsburgh and Antonio Brown couldn't coexist. As I told Arnie and Aaron, final two games that he played for the Steelers, targeted 26 times, caught 18 balls, 235 yards, three touchdowns against New England and New Orleans. They went 1-1 of those two games. By the way, the Raiders, if you're scoring at home, right now they're 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. We're projecting, we believe, that their over-under win total will be 5 wins. Stay tuned. It'll be fun to watch. We've got more pressing business to get to, Sleepy, not the least of which is the media darling Virginia Cavaliers. They hosted the Louisville Cardinals today, laying 12 and a half. I love the Louisville Cardinals. Did I have the cojones to get on it? No. But if I would have fired on that game, I would have cashed a ticket. Virginia wins 73-68, and let the media oversell begin. Yes, here comes Virginia. This is finally going to be their year. They're healthy. They're hot. They're on fire. They're hungry. They got all the talent. They got the roster. They got the offense. They got the discipline. But I'm sticking to my guns. They'll find a way to bust your bracket. You picked them to win it all, do it at your own risk. I'm telling you, I've only got 6-7 years of history behind me, Sleepy. They lost last year. Everybody remembers they lost to a 16 seed, but they lost by 20. The year before, they lost to Florida 65-39 in the round of 32. The year before that, they lost to Syracuse in the Elite Eight, which is as far as they've gone in many years. 2015, they lost to Michigan State 60-54 in the round of 32. The year before that, Michigan State also got them in 2014. Iowa beat them by 11 in the Sweet 16 in 2013. I thought Louisville, and this is a team I really like, by the way. If you're into betting, and I hope you are, you're listening to the show. Right now, Joe Lunardi is projecting Louisville as a 7 seed. They're 50-1. You can get them at 50-1. I've said it time and time again at the risk of stuttering. Chris Mack has done a fabulous job with this team. They were picked to finish 11th. They beat Michigan State, who I just talked about, the co-Big Ten champ for the second year in a row. They won at North Carolina. They won at Virginia Tech. They led Duke by 23. They gave Virginia everything they could handle today. They scored 68 points against the team that typically only gives up 54, Sleepy. And I love Louisville when they get into their offense, their spacing, their crisp passing. They give opponents fits. And that ball moves faster than defenders do. So my long-winded way of saying, actually, that when Louisville gets into the tournament, Sleepy, I will probably blindly bet them round one, and we'll see what happens. But you had some thoughts on Virginia that might be counter to the way I feel.
Yeah, Bernie, I got two words for you when it comes to Virginia. Fundamentally sound. That's what I see. That's what I think of when I look at Virginia here. They don't beat themselves. Go through their box scores. You can go through maybe like the last 10 games for that team. They beat you in steals. They beat you in blocks. They beat you at the free throw line. And it's not like they're clobbering you, but they're beating you by little bits in each and every stat category. And eventually it adds up, and you need a really good team that can overcome all that type of, just a team beating you game by game stat-wise.
You're not wrong, but do they have it in their DNA to win 6 times in a row on a neutral site? Do they have it in their DNA to execute with poise under pressure when it matters most and the heat gets hot and it's hard to breathe? They have not proven to me. I've been burned on them before. It's like I was telling you off air back in 2008. We heard the same thing about Pitt. Finally their year. I remember, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. This is their year. They've got London Perantes. He'll put them on their back. Nope, they lost to Syracuse. I'm just not buying it. Now, we'll give them credit. They've beaten Louisville 9 games in a row. But what it matters most, yeah, I know. I've heard all the stats. They're number one in the nation. They allow 54 points per game. But when they turn the lights on the big stage and they go on a neutral floor, can they do it 6 times in a row when it matters? I have a list of teams I think can beat them. I think Gonzaga can beat them. They're a complete team. I think Michigan State can beat them. I know Duke can beat them. We're going to get to them in a minute. Mm-hmm. Zion will be back. I think he'll play about 10 minutes Thursday. I think North Carolina could get him. So this is a developing fluid situation. Keep an eye on Virginia. They're currently 5-1. I ran my mouth about the New England Patriots starting October 6th when they had that tough, they came out of the gate 2-3 and they turned it around, and you all know what happened there. So listen, I love Tony Bennett. They don't make him any nicer than that guy. I think Virginia has been a class program and a quality, a quality program, as it were, for years in arguably the toughest conference. But when they get on the big stage, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Sleepy, let's talk about another game today that I think was really spectacular to watch. I heard from my buddy Freddie Heumann. This is Michigan State. I had gotten word that Tom Izzo was downright emotional during his pregame speech today. Michigan State had a situation where the planets really lined up. It was senior night. They were facing their rival, Michigan, and it was for a conference title. That has never happened. Those three elements have never combined. Those constellation of events have never combined for the same game in the history of Tom Izzo in 24 years, but it did tonight. So a tearful Tom Izzo delivers a moving pregame speech. Michigan State goes out, wins by 12. They were laying 3.5. If you had Michigan State, which I believe you did today, Sleepy, that was one of your best plays, I thought, you got the cash.
Mm-hmm. Bernie, I got to ask you a question when it comes to Michigan as far as this game today. They only had 2 guys that really looked like they were doing anything on the floor. Do you felt that Michigan really missed Charlie Matthews today?
Well, sure, but no more than Michigan State missed Josh Langford, Nick Ward.
I know, but when you look at the stats from that game, Spartans dominated 2 areas, a free throw line, plus
rebounding.
18, rebounding, plus 26. You can't do that. You can't go on the road to a team like Michigan State, your rival, and just come up and just get crushed in the stats and expect to actually... I'm surprised they didn't get beat by 30 in this game.
Well, Michigan led it to half.
I know, but
this was right out of the Tom Izzo playbook, Sleepy. This is Tom Izzo central casting. Michigan not only was out-rebounded by Michigan State, they were out-rebounded 46-21.
Yeah.
John Wooden said it best, there's a place in heaven for rebounders. Michigan State took advantage of that today. Also, Michigan State's pressure defense and their ability to move in space and off-ball defenders, well, they helped. You know, they turned the ball over. Michigan turned the ball over 20 times today.
I saw that.
You can't do that either against a quality Michigan team. Give it up, a quality Michigan State team. That's the Michigan State signature. Defense is desire. Rebounding is desire. They found a way to get it done. It was a rematch game. I will tell you, from the Michigan point of view, too, Sleepy, they went into town today not to hail Caesar, but to conquer Caesar. This was one pissed off Michigan team, and I'll tell you why. They believe they had, you know, a chance to really beat Michigan State and get revenge for what happened 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They went 10 minutes without a field goal in that game, and Beilein was on record as saying that was their worst defensive performance of the year, and it was. They lost 77-70 at home to the Spartans just a couple of weeks ago. And Michigan's defense has simply failed to put the clamps on Michigan State. Michigan still third in the nation. They only allow 58 points a game, so they're not that far behind Virginia. The bottom line is Michigan State gets it done today, Sleepy. They win their second straight Big Ten title. Granted, it's a co-championship with Purdue. But ninth Big Ten championship for Tom Izzo. I think they're very alive in the tournament. They're 13-1 to win it all right now. Michigan, 12-1. I think if they get Nick Ward back and or Josh Langford back, and even if they don't, they've got enough horses to play Izzo ball, survive in advance. Their preseason schedule, which is always the toughest in the country, they manage to play teams who play zone defenses, they play full court press, they play running teams, they play half court teams, they play teams with big centers on their back to the basket. They are fully prepared to see anything in the gauntlet that the six game tournament is going to present to them.
A question for you: when it comes to Michigan State, do you think that they'll end up with the number 2 seed?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that helps them. Obviously, if Langford comes back, obviously that'll be a real big help. But I think the 2 seed is something that they obviously need.
I don't think any Big Ten team is going to get a number 1 seed.
No.
You know, we could talk about that. I mean, I'm sure Virginia's a lock. Gonzaga's a lock. Either Duke and or North Carolina are a lock, and I'm still holding hope Kentucky. But that's a conversation for another day. I'm looking forward to next Saturday night show. We'll speculate much more closely because next Saturday will be the eve of Selection Sunday.
Did you say Duke and North Carolina?
Well, I think that's the game I want to talk about next.
Nice.
But I will say this, that one of those teams I believe is getting a number 1 seed.
I think it's going to be Carolina.
Well, I will tell you, in the second half today, North Carolina completely outworked Duke on the offensive boards. They continually got second and third chances, but somehow Duke managed to get that game within 5 points, give it up to North Carolina. They made huge plays defensively. Their experience really showed up.
And they made free throws down the end. That was monstrous.
Give it up to Kenny Williams.
Yep.
He did things that don't show up in the box score.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina wins 79-70. They were laying 5. Carolina is still now 10-1 to win it all. They're a nice club, all right? They've now won 7 in a row. You cannot write them off. And they out-rebounded Duke in the first matchup as well, and they turned Duke over 20 times in the first, you know, in their first matchup. Duke, however, still plus 180. Zion will come back. It's been the worst-kept secret. I expect him to play 10 minutes or so in the first game, maybe 10 to 15 in the second game. The key is to have him ready for when real March Madness starts. Obviously, Duke is not the same without Zion. They're 3-2 without Zion, and they could have easily lost to Wake Forest the other night. That kid makes that shot, and I think that we're having a whole different story. And he got hurt the game that they played against North Carolina, or they lost the game where he got hurt, excuse me. They'd be 3-4 in the last 7.
I watched this game, Bernie. 90% of this first half, these teams look completely even. But I think UNC in the second half, as you said, they played much better. It was only really a 4 minute run there, 14-2 run. It was really constructed by Colby White, inside and out game. He did very well. And something to note here for Duke, their starting center, Marquez Bolden, actually went out.
That's right.
He only played like 2 or 3 minutes. I think that hurt. Right. But they looked like even teams, except for that 4 minute little run there that Carolina had.
We've got to get to Georgetown, Marquette, Tennessee, Auburn. And I will tell you why, without Zion, Duke has no chance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And I want to remind you that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Become a new card member, and Discover will match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Sleepy, I'm going to tell you why. If something happens to Zion and he's unable to be 100% healthy and play from here on out to April 3rd or whenever this thing ends, Duke has no chance. He's their rim protector. He's their low post presence. He's a low post scorer. More importantly, he masks the fact that Duke is not a good three-point shooting team. When he pulls down rebounds, gets out in transition, he proved that in game one against Virginia. Duke is incredibly dangerous. There's a reason they're 3-2 without Zion and almost lost to Wake Forest. They miss him, and they need him back if they have designs on winning it all. Stay tuned. Tennessee at Auburn today, Sleepy. Auburn 90-1. Tennessee 12-1. Give it up to that crazy Bruce Pearl. Auburn gets the money today. As a 1.5-point dog, they beat Tennessee outright 84-80. Fantastic effort by Auburn. Only turned the ball over 5 times today, a season low. First win by the Auburn Tigers in basketball over a top-5 team in 25 years. In the second half, Auburn locked it down defensively. They made great plays down the stretch. And by the way, I really want to give it up to Auburn and their student body and their crowd today. It's spring break. They all could have took off. They stayed. They cheered their team. They created a great home crowd for Auburn today, who's now 22-9, 11-7 in conference. They've looked really good of late, Auburn has. They can be inconsistent, right? But they're still 6-1 straight up now in their last 7 games. Their last loss was to Kentucky on the road. Do you like Auburn?
I do a little bit, but I
90-1.
If they get hot, Bernie, you know that this team could get hot from the outside. They can, you know, they could put up points in a hurry. But I think this loss for today for the Volunteers, obviously, I think that takes away their number one seed in the dance.
Yeah. I agree with that.
One thing about the game today that I noticed, Auburn in the second half, they got Tennessee to play their style of basketball. As you just mentioned, +8 in turnovers for them, actually very good in that area. But one of the big concerns I had for Tennessee was the fact that they kept letting guard Lamonte Turner shoot threes for the Volunteers. He was 1-8 from the outside, and the fact that Auburn was getting Tennessee to play at their pace and their style, that guy didn't help them at all, and really, you know, that's what hurt the Vols at the end.
Look, the Vols are still a hell of a team. They're a week removed from beating John Calipari and Kentucky by 19. They took that momentum into Tuesday night when they smoked Mississippi State by 17. Mm. Grant Williams can still score. Admiral Schofield can score. Tennessee is an older, established team. They're an experienced team. 6 of their players who received the top minutes are all upperclassmen. And let's also not forget, Rick Barnes, this is not his first rodeo. He's a great coach. He's been there. He's been to a Final Four before. Tennessee is still on the short list to go deep in the tournament, but they've still got to do it. An interesting game today, Sleepy. Georgetown visited Marquette. These are two storied programs that long for a return to glory, and I really think Patrick Ewing has done an outstanding job with Georgetown this year. I think you mentioned to me, now we don't know if they're going to get a bid. We'll talk about this next week, but they're 900-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
They stroll into Marquette, who was 30-1. Outstanding effort. Georgetown wins 86-84. You get the cash if you fired on Georgetown today. They were catching 9.5. An interesting thought about the Big East, Sleepy, because I don't think anybody looks at the Big East as they're certainly not a Power 5 conference, but as a real formidable conference. The Big East is the only conference where every team will have an at least above 500 record at the end of the regular season. That is not bad. Here's where I give Georgetown a lot of credit. Marquette led by 8 late in the second half. They missed 11 of their last 14 shots. I know there was a bit of a controversial ending. Coach Wojo of the Marquette Golden Eagles thought there was a foul at the end. There was a no call. I believe Georgetown played their way into the bubble. They're 19-12. And here's what's interesting about Georgetown. Another rising star, a freshman, James Akinjo, 25 points today, combined with Mac McClung for 48. This freshman guard also played great lockdown defense. Marquette, this is a tale of two teams going in different directions, mm-hmm. Sleepy. Marquette now, 4 straight losses. I think this Big East tourney got a lot more interesting. Give it up to Villanova. They're the Big East outright champion. But Marquette has a reason now to rally, and you know they're going to go to the tournament. I think they're absolutely getting a bid. They're still 12-4 in conference and 23-6 overall. They're getting in. But what Georgetown did today, this is a team that's very young. They're dangerous. They're fearless. They're ultra-competitive. Kind of reminds you of the old Patrick Ewing Georgetown teams back in the day. They might be something to watch when the tournament starts.
I'll tell you what, right now, the Big East tournament is the tournament that I'm looking to watch more than anything.
In terms of parity?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you just mentioned Nova. They lost today. Seton Hall beat them. Georgetown, they go into Marquette. They get the win there. You know, a big problem for Marquette today was the fact that Georgetown got to play at the pace that they wanted to play. I watched the entire game. I had Georgetown in that game, plus 10 points. It just seemed like too much for a team like Marquette that just has not been able to win. 3-point land for Georgetown, very efficient. It was like 57%. And Marquette, and this is what I've seen with them the last couple weeks, they're taking a lot of bad shots, just bad percentage shots. If Howard's not taking over the game, Marquette really struggles. Happened to him again today.
Marquette is regressed. They went into Georgetown earlier this year, and they beat the Hoyas without even having Marcus Howard on the floor. He had a back issue. Now he's back in top form, and they couldn't get it done today. And by the way, one of the things I like about watching Georgetown, they're refreshing, and I want to really give it up again to Patrick Ewing. I think he's done an outstanding job. The Hoyas are not just an underrated team in terms of as far as their talent. They're very unselfish, Sleepy, as evidenced by the fact they rank 7th nationally with almost 18 dimes per contest. Mm-hmm. So they look to find the open man. They look to make the extra pass. They're creating opportunities for their teammates. I really give it up to Georgetown today. When you're a 9.5-point dog and you go into enemy territory after getting beat at home against a Big East Conference rival, and you come away with a win after trailing by 8 late, you've got my respect. I'll be watching Georgetown. There's a team in Los Angeles that can't shoot straight, and it gets worse by the day. And we're going to have a lot to talk about them in just a minute. They're called the Los Angeles Lakers, also known as the gang who couldn't shoot straight. Let's see, they shut down Brandon Ingram. Now they shut down LeVar Ball. Word has it they might even shut down Smush Parker next. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first, let's go to Ralph Irvin with the latest.
Well, thank you very much, Bernie, and we do start in the NFL, where Antonio Brown is headed to the Oakland Raiders in a trade from Pittsburgh. The Steelers will receive the Raiders' 3rd and 5th round picks in this year's draft. Brown gets a reworked deal, 3 years. It's worth up to $54 million. $30.125 million of that is guaranteed. Those reports, at least, coming from Ian Rappaport. Now, on the NBA hardwood, 6 games on Saturday night, including the best team in the league right now, the Milwaukee Bucks, 131-114 winners over Charlotte. Giannis with 26 points, 13 rebounds. The Bucks lead Toronto by 3 games in that Eastern Conference race. CJ McCollum at 26 points, leading Portland past Phoenix, 127-120. And you kind of hinted at it. Boston won their 3rd straight, beating the Lakers 120-107. LA has lost 5 straight games. Kyrie Irving led the Celtics with 30 points. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Brooklyn got their third straight win, beating Atlanta 114-112. Sacramento gets 30 points from De'Aaron Fox. They beat the Knicks 102-94. And Minnesota, 135-130 winner over Washington in overtime. And on the college hardwood, number 3 North Carolina beats number 4 Duke 79-70, while Auburn upset number 5 Tennessee 84-80. But now, one more thing on that Raiders deal. Caesars has already taken them, Oakland, from being 75-1 to 50-1 for this coming season.
Oh, my. I don't get that. Well, maybe some money came in. Ralph, you're a learned man, a thoughtful man. You always give well-crafted answers.
Uh-huh.
You're right there in the belly of the beast, the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, Rome wasn't built in a day. You think that LeBron will ever bring a championship to Los Angeles in his 3 remaining years?
Take that question back, walk away. Just walk away with your reputation in hand and walk away from that. Rome wasn't built with a broken handle axe either. It wasn't built with a broken hammer. It wasn't built with a broken screwdriver, and this is a broken LeBron. Hell no.
Yeah, he's very, very well said. You know, the Lakers, I interned at the Forum back in the day when Magic was a rookie. This is a team of eras. Chamberlain, Jabbar, Magic, Kobe, Shaq. The LeBron era is off to a rough start. Well said, Ralph. Ryan Bershinger, you get to weigh in on this very important subject. Los Angeles is listening. Los Angeles That's is right. waiting. Drop some knowledge, Ryan.
I will agree with Ralph in that, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I think wherever Durant goes next year has a better chance of winning over the next couple of years than LeBron's Lakers.
The optics of this just get worse. I don't think anybody really saw this coming. They're under 500. Everybody talks about the fact that LeBron missed 18 games. Golly gee, if he only hadn't missed those 18 games. Well, he's been back for 13 and they're 3-10. Now, the guys this past week chopped it up a bit. And in this cut, RJ lays out the facts when it comes to not only how poorly the Lakers are performing on the floor, but also against the spread. Frankly, the Lakers have been a disaster for their backers. And as RJ points out, the fault is not confined to just the players on the floor. Finally, Brad Powers and RJ point out that if you bet the preseason futures bet on overwins, well, you might as well light that ticket on fire. At least it'll keep you warm. RJ explains. Let's have a listen.
Pregame.com research came up with these numbers. And they are falling short, the Lakers, against the spread, almost 10 points a game. So this is the tale of two seasons. We could say it's the LeBron pre-injury and post-injury. Not true. Now, if your goal is, oh, make the playoffs, yeah, obviously the Lakers didn't play as well without LeBron. We're talking about the core of the team. We're talking about Luke Walton. We're talking about Magic. We're talking about all the things that make up how well a team plays other than their talent on the floor, because sometimes the talent's going to be good, sometimes it's not going to be as good if there's injuries, but how cohesive, how much teamwork is there? The idea that there's 52 games where they met expectation, the Lakers, and now magically the 12 games pretty much line up with all the drama around the trade, all the drama around, we'll give all you guys up. You're all just chips that we'll trade for to get Anthony Davis. 18 games left for the Lakers. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but Brad, what's the best the Lakers could do?
18-0.
If the Lakers went 18-0 straight up to finish the season, they still would be under their season win total. So before the season started, I think 48.5 games is where it landed. They have 30 wins right now. Once again, 30 plus 18. I'm going to do it real quick in my head. That's 48 wins, which means if they go undefeated the rest of the season, the Lakers still fell short of expectations.
Two words, fool's gold. So in the meantime, betting on the Lakers is like a stock who gets bad news daily. The message is clear. Look for other stocks to invest your hard-earned money in. The Lakers aren't even competitive anymore. And speaking of integrity, in this cut, RJ revisits a sore subject from the past having to do with the integrity of information a bettor might utilize so they can make good decisions with their hard-earned money. Now, the goal is to win long-term in this business, You know, RJ references injury reports and the Securities and Exchange Commission and what the future may actually hold for oversight to maintain the integrity of the betting markets for players. This is a really heady take. Give it a listen.
If there's billions of dollars being bet on an event and the organization putting the event on makes a commitment to transparency, and the analogy is always stocks, right? The SEC, not the Southeastern Conference, Security and Exchange Commission. Look at Enron. Look it up, youngsters. If you lie, if you withhold, what happens? Guys like Brad, just everyday Joe struggling, what happens? He invests his money on faulty information, loses it, and we as a government are trying, as a country, are trying to stop that. Well, if I'm betting my hard-earned money on the Rams and Gurley's not healthy and I'm not being told that and it's the obligation of the Rams to be transparent, something's wrong. And to me, prediction I'll keep making, within 3 years, there will be a class action lawsuit. And it will be as simple as getting the trainer of Team X on the stand under oath saying, tell me what the consideration was to Gurley playing this game. Well, we knew about this, that, and the... Well, wait a minute. If you knew about this, why wasn't it on the injury report? The case is that simple. It's going to happen. Hopefully, the fact that straight out of Vegas, 200 stations, Fox Sports Radio, Sirius XM, iHeartRadio app, the fact that we have the biggest voice out of Vegas in the world that we're preaching, maybe that's why the Post is asking, writing about it, why The Athletic is, why the NFL now is sheepishly saying weeks later, maybe this is something we should look into.
This is a conversation that has merit. Mainstream sports wagering across the United States is growing by leaps and bounds. Since the Supreme Court ruling overturned PASPA, 11 states have already enacted legislation legalizing sports betting in their states. Now, 22 more states have written bills to be voted on, so legalized betting will become ratified in their states as well. Among them, New York, Virginia, and Texas. The goal, those are big states, the goal is to complete this task by September 1st. Now, that's huge. So, in effect, as many as 33 states could have legalized sports betting by next football season. But this doesn't just involve football. Remember last year's Major League Baseball All-Star Game Home Run Derby? It was won by the new $330 million man, Bryce Harper. But what if I told you his victory was contested because they, quote, broke the rules? Now, let me explain. See, the Home Run Derby rules clearly state that designated pitcher cannot deliver another pitch until the previously batted ball hits the ground. So the pitcher, who happened to be Harper's father, repeatedly, quote, fast pitched before those previous swings hit the ground and thus artificially gave Bryce an unfair advantage. Now, I'm not saying they did this on purpose or intentionally gamed the system. However, no other pitcher hitter tandem did this, and it turns out it might have actually affected the final outcome. If you don't believe me, just ask the bettors who plunked their money down on Kyle Schwarber. Take a minute, do your own research. Even the commissioner, Rob Manfred, had to weigh in to quell the fire. Now, in the end, the argument was whether or not the rules were properly enforced and whether or not this changed the outcome and altered the result, thus denying those who rightfully thought they were about to cash a ticket, saw their wagers strike out, if you get my drift. See, that's RJ's point. Eventually, everything could be, there could be greater repercussions if bettors feel they've been unfairly treated and somebody might look for some retribution. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. You know, it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. What are your thoughts on Kyler Murray? We'll tell you ours. And are you wondering which bubble teams are going to get in? We'll tell you who we think is 7 days before it actually happens. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Want to remind you, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Become a new card member, and Discover will match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Before I go any further, I want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, Ryan Bershinger, Ralph Irvin, and Iowa Sam. Thanks so much, guys. Do a great job helping us get ready for the show. Couldn't do it without you. Of course, my on-site producer, Sleepy J, the man who's a six-tool player, not a five-tool player. Speaking of tools, Kyler Murray, boy, has he been in the news. And in this cut, RJ points out how fast the markets have moved when it comes to which round Kyler Murray might be drafted. And Brad Power shows us that thanks to a simple measurement, the odds moved accordingly. Now, talk about utilizing data to analyze a wager. This brings it to a new level. Man, this really is a game of inches, or maybe just one inch. Let's give it a listen.
Let's start with quantifying how big of a movement, a up arrow, we've seen with Kyler Murray, because Vegas has had odds on it the whole way. Not that long ago, 10 days ago, you could have bet, where's Kyler Murray gonna go? Over, under, pick 9.5. So if you went in the first nine, it's under, as they say, which means earlier. If he goes 10 or later, that would have been the other way. That would have been later. Okay. The money was about even, meaning you could have bet 50-50 either way. All right. So if I would have been in a bar and someone that's, you know how like if someone's like a UFC fighter, they think they're tough, it's like, I want to take on Chuck Liddell. Imagine someone thought like that with me, but it's odds, right? Hopefully not a street fight in the back alley. I'm not really up for that. But it's like, RJ Bell, you think you know the odds. We always hear you say things like,
and you're in no position to challenge my expertise.
And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, you're right about that. Well, where do you think Kyler Murray's going? Well, I would have said, well, the marketplace is saying right around 9.5. Now, the measurements came in. Now, what, Brad, at that point, what happened to the odds?
Yeah, Kyler Murray went from minus 175, meaning he'd be taken in the first nine picks, was the favorite, all the way up to minus 300. You had to bet $300 to win 100 that Kyler Murray would be drafted in the first nine picks of the draft.
Yeah, so there was really two tiers to the growth. One was the initial 50-50 at 9.5. Then it was drifting with no new data. It was just general optimism, the stories in the newspaper, radio, etc., up to 175. And that was about a 63% chance he goes in the top nine. And then it went to 75% with that inch. That inch got you to 75. So, okay, I get it. What's happened since? We can tell you what the odds have done, but can anyone here tell me what new information do we have?
The rumors coming out of the combine are Cliff Kingsbury has kind of maybe sent some smoke signals out there that they're likely to take Kyler Murray as the first pick.
Let me start by saying I summarily dismissed Charlie Casserly's disparaging comments about Kyler Murray this week. His kid came out of Texas as what many folks consider the greatest high school player in the history of Texas. That's saying a lot. He went to Oklahoma, sat patiently for 2 years before he got on the field. It takes a quality person to do that. And I made my case last week. The Cardinals need to take Kyler Murray and invent the future. If you don't, you're marrying yourself to Josh Rosen and his 66 quarterback rating and, frankly, some questionable leadership traits. Now, I think Josh Rosen is better than he showed last year, but he needs to be in a different system, not Kingsbury's. Can Murray play? Yes. He rises to the occasion. Can he operate from the pocket? Yes. What if I told you last season in Oklahoma, 91% of his passes were delivered from the pocket? By the way, in the NFL, the two quarterbacks who threw the lowest percentage of passes from the pocket, Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. Here's another one for you. How many passes did Kyler Murray have batted down last year? 5. Look, why did you hire Cliff Kingsbury if you're not going to draft Josh Rosen? We're going to get to this later. Couple of quick bubble teams, Sleepy. Let's play lightning round. Indiana, they think they're in. They swept Michigan State. They beat Wisconsin. They have 6 quadrant one wins. They beat Marquette. They beat Louisville. They smoked Iowa the other day. Are they in or are they out?
I'm going to say out.
Whoa! You're not a hater, are you? Okay. Arizona State, they've hit the high notes. They beat Kansas for the second straight season. They beat Mississippi State. They beat Utah State. They beat Washington, the Pac-12 champion. All of those teams will be in the field of 68. Is Arizona State in or out?
According to BracketMatrix.com, they have them in, and I also have them in as well, Bernie.
We're going
to
do a lot of this stuff next week, talking about bubble teams. But let's give you what you really want to hear, and those are the best bets. Now, I'm going to pass this week, but Sleepy, great call last week. I had Georgia Tech last week. It hit. Sleepy, real quickly, what's your best bet tomorrow? And by the way, you gave everybody Michigan over Maryland last Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give you guys Houston tomorrow, plus the two on the road against Cincinnati. Really like this Houston team. I think Cincinnati's in a tough spot here, Bernie, off a tough loss against UCF. Give me Houston tomorrow, plus the two.
Aforementioned Kelvin Sampson and the incredibly tough Houston Cougars. He's done a fabulous job of that team. By the way, I kind of think Clemson's going to get in as a bubble team. They beat Va-Tech. Va-Tech was ranked 11th. I think Florida, Alabama, North Carolina State, Furman, maybe St. Mary's, and I think Georgetown. We're going to talk about all those teams and more next week. Next week, we'll be just shy of Selection Sunday. Okay, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. But don't go anywhere. You're going to get a chance to witness history, folks. Yes, coming up next, the debut of the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Out of Vegas!